They are an American band, sounding good. It is Dave O'Neill here, just filling in, and it's 20 minutes to 8, and it's time to talk arts with our regular correspondent, Fiona Gruber. How are you, Fiona?
I'm corresponding.
It's a good old-fashioned word, like you're in the wars.
I know, it makes me sound like I should be kind of like fanning in my copy from a pub or something.
Yeah, that'd be good. Now, who have you brought in? This is interesting. I've been talking about this great Keith Haring.
Yes.
Now, mural.
Yeah, a lot of people in Melbourne, or who come into Melbourne, will have probably driven past it. It's in Johnson Street. It's up on the wall. It's lots of kind of like outlines of dancing people and then this huge squiggly worm and a big computer terminal. And
it's the old Collingwood TAFE, isn't it?
It's the old Collingwood TAFE, yeah. And it's going to actually be the headquarters of Circus Oz. And I don't know, we'll ask Juliana Ingberg, who's sitting right next to me, if that's been the galvanising thing for, you know, the big push to have it repainted. Because Juliana, you're from up the road at the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art, and you're deputising for Hannah Matthews.
I am. I'm standing.
Even
in
though she's actually you, kind of your deputy.
Gee.
But she's.
I'm doing the honours because Hannah is.
She can't get through the door anymore.
No, she's massively pregnant. And,
oh, good. Thank God for that.
I know. Everything. It's all very fecund. She's been spearheading this campaign for a while to try and
preserve
see if there's, to really make it more vivid again.
Now, maybe we should start off by saying who
let's start at
Keith
the very beginning.
Haring is and when this mural was painted.
Well, Keith came here in 1984. I met him, actually, on the top of
Skinny Taylor's. American artist.
He was an American artist, and he came to prominence as a graffiti-esque artist, if you like. You know, people would perhaps recognise his little atomic baby that became very popular and you know, still lives today in T-shirts and postcards and things. That's right.
The dancing man.
The little dancing man, the little atomic baby, you know, very friendly kind of art, very graphic in its quality, very vivid in its appearance. So, you know, bright colours, reds, yellows, you know, very much about a sort of graphic appearance.
It
had a very nice kind of humanity in it, really, I think. Anyway, Keith was here in 1984 at the invitation of John Buckley, who was then the director of the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art in its very fledgling years. And Keith came, and he did a number of ephemeral events, etc., but he made this mural in Collingwood very much with the thought that, you know, if possible, it would be a permanent installation. He made it in front of a bunch of people, you know, over a weekend, and it was all very festive and jolly. But now it's kind of become rather dilapidated and a bit faded.
It's so faded. And he painted it with house paints, didn't he? Acrylic house paints.
Yes. I mean, you know, we're not talking top-level, you know, sort of Renaissance oils here. It's a bog standard kind of paint job in a fashion, and I suppose that in some ways is difficult for people to get to grips with. I mean, Keith was just a kid who was, you know, doing his work on the street.
Yeah.
Then he became, you know, celebrated in the early 80s, and then, you know, attention came to the work. But it was fundamentally a very spontaneous, very fresh kind of thing that he was doing, and I think Hannah and all of the people who are fond of Haring's work would really like to see that mural returned in a sense to its vividness, to become more colourful and much more celebratory again, which was its intent originally.
How do you preserve it? Do you repaint it or what do you do to it?
Well, Keith left very clear instructions about this, and he set up a foundation before his death with some very precise kind of instructions, and one of the instructions was when it's possible to repaint the thing. Make it look good again.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a master handwork here. It's not kind of scudo, you know. We don't need to worry about shading.
That's got very definite lines.
Yeah. I mean, it's very delineated as a thing. And, you know, anyone with a capacity, you know, in line work can probably do it. Very competently to bring it back to the thing. But, you know, the foundation in New York, the Keith Haring Foundation, they do have a process for this, and this is the process that they would like to see happen for this mural.
Have they got an artist that they could send?
Very trained in the linear work of Keith Haring. So
this has become hugely controversial, though. I mean, I've got this article from The Age in front of me by Hannah Matthew from last week, you know, saying that, you know, basically the people who want to conserve it or leave it as it is, you know, it paints them into a real corner. As though they're kind of, well, you know,
this is because in the conservation world, you know, there are now very interesting debates, you know, about whether or not you preserve, conserve or restore things. You know, for instance, if you had a lovely old couch that was all battered up and had spring and wires out of it, but it had a wonderful story that somebody perhaps, you know, very famous was bonking on it all the time or something like that, you wouldn't necessarily want to restore that because you would actually lose the story of that couch. Mm. So that, you know, that would be an argument for leaving it as it is and just making it, you know, sort of stable, you know, stabilise the condition of it. Don't think that's quite the same thing as the herring mural. If we stabilise it as it is now, it will simply be a vapid, dilapidated, vegetative kind of, you know, thing instead of the lively thing it could be. But
it will get worse? It will get worse? Much worse, won't
Well,
it?
Look, if it got worse, that would be okay too. The foundation is pretty clear on those two things. Either repaint it and make it vivid and wonderful again, or let it just go. But don't put it into a kind of holding pattern that's neither vivid nor, you know,
gone. So don't cover it in anything.
I spoke to a conservator just sort of asking about, you know, what the general issues are. And they said, well, one thing is that it's one of the last herrings that hasn't been repainted, that, you know, you can see the original brush strokes, and even though he might not be, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, it's like he's a really important artist, and if you obscure his art,
Keith would just think that is hilarious.
I know, but he's dead, isn't he?
Yeah, he is dead. Mm. But I met him when he was alive, and he was a very, very friendly, cool kind of guy, and I don't think he would have really wanted to have this debate about his hand, because, you know, there were other hands and, you know, at action as well. I mean, it's, you know, it's that kind of a work. It's not a master hand work.
But future generations might think, I mean, kind of artists themselves are often quite kind of dismissive about their work. They don't want to be seen as kind of tossers and big heads about their work, so they, you know,
I know, but in this instance we have the clear direction of the artist. You know, I mean, this is not wondering what Leonardo would have said or wondering what, you know, Michelangelo would have said about the Sistine Chapel. We actually have very clear instructions from the artist, and I think in a certain way, and I'm sure that they're very well-meaning, but in this instance I think the conservators are perhaps misunderstanding the brief. The brief which has been set by the artist. And I would say there's a moral rights of artist issue here.
Sure.
You know, I mean, if that is what Keith Haring wanted, and he is perfectly at ease, was perfectly at ease with the idea that it could be repainted or allowed to simply fade away.
Because isn't there another thing about how, and the person I spoke to, they said, well, we might be into it being repainted or something, but we just want to find out a bit more about the chemical composition, because the acrylic paint, there's a chance that if you paint on top of it, the stronger acrylic paint might adhere to the weaker acrylic paint underneath, and the whole thing might peel off.
Well, no. That is, of course, you know, an issue, but I'm sure that's something that can be worked through. I don't think that that's an argument, I'm sorry, you know, really, for leaving it in this between state. I think that's an argument for finding out the facts and doing the best, you know, that one can do to bring it into vividness again.
It is Dave O'Neill on 774 ABC Melbourne, ABC Victoria, and Fiona Gruber here, our arts journalist, correspondent, and we're talking about the Keith Haring mural on Johnston Street there, and of course Juliana Engberg is the director of Australian Centre for Contemporary Art.
The Rusty Bucket.
Yes, the Rusty
Bucket. The Rusty one,
down
the road.
It's a building.
Yeah, it's a lovely building, actually.
Now, okay, so who owns the building?
Where my building?
No, not the Rusty Bucket.
That would be Arts Victoria, Dave.
It would be handy if Keith had painted on that, but he didn't. Who owns the building that Keith Haring's mural on?
The Victorian government, actually, as it should happen.
So they've done this, they've commissioned a report, haven't
they?
Yeah,
of course. They've commissioned a conservation report, and you know, I'm sure that everyone has gone through the due diligence here, but once again, I think, you know, Hannah and the foundation are very clear that, you know, there are instructions that have been put in place to actually make it very clear what the action should be here. Leave it go, which, of course, I don't think anyone would want to do. It's a wonderful thing. Or restore it back to a kind of liveliness so that people can really enjoy it. I mean, I remember when it first went up myself and I thought, oh, isn't that fantastic? But I feel a bit sad now when I drive down, you know, Johnson Street. And I think, they should have done something earlier perhaps to, you know, retard that
it's
fading.
It's very exposed, isn't it?
It's very exposed. Right. I mean, it is.
It gets dripped on there. They've got drip. They've got.
I mean, that is the nature of
lines.
Outdoor work. And, of course, the other side of the coin could be just let it go. Or but I don't think anyone really wants to let it go. it go.
You could do a sort of Let's Go Caves. You could kind of have like another building with a copy of it.
Now you're talking about plagiarism.
Now, how
he wouldn't mind. He said to me, "That's fine."
We're getting text messages, and then someone says, "Love the topic. Love the Keith Haring piece. Wish they could just cover it in glass." In UV glass.
Well, of course, this is very interesting because somebody tried to do that with Banksy. And, of course, Banksy just got, very unhappy about that because he is very much of the opinion that certain things should just, fade away.
Mm.
It's horses for courses a bit here. I think that Banksy has a different opinion to Keith Haring, has a different opinion to the conservationists, have a different opinion. And I think, once again, we should probably adhere to the instruction of the artist because we can.
And also Banksy, like Keith Haring, we're talking about anti-establishment, slightly popular figures, they're almost like highwaymen of art.
Well, I think the thing about the Perspex over the Banksy was he actually resented the fact that somebody had decided to make this almost iconic and were capitalising on it somewhat. There is a moral rights of artist thing there too, unless he actually instructed them to protect it and make an icon and an attraction of it, then
but also
that is against the wishes of the artist.
You could get a microclimate underneath that glass, couldn't you, or Perspex?
And of course, you would have moisture and all sorts of things like that would happen, but, that will happen if you leave it to the environment too. This person was, in fact, actually trying to, say to people, I've got an original Banksy, come see it.
So, Melbourne's got this Keith Haring.
Well, Melbourne wants to say, we've got an original Keith Haring, come see it.
Because who else
We agree, but we think that it probably just should actually be much more colourful and look much more like the original, so that people can really enjoy it and not struggle to see it.
Could you move it?
You could, I guess.
Like a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. I mean, but they did move pyramids and things and put them in the Met. We have the capability.
You could do a roof.
It might be a bit of a stretch.
So where else, if you're travelling around the world doing a bit of a Haring groupy pilgrimage, where else could you see Harings?
Oh, there's a couple still in the subway system in New York. Mostly they are on, streetwear. Most of them have disappeared.
Didn't one get painted on a door here in Melbourne that's then got pinched?
Oh, really?
Mm. I think that's
profiteering, isn't it?
That's
the nature of street art too. I remember very, well when I was living in New York and Barbara Kruger was putting a lot of stuff on the street. I mean, she would go out and poster during the night and then the next morning, gone. It was a time when people were souveniring those things. They often pop up in, auctions and things like that. And you think, really? That is amazing. That's the thing I used to walk past every day. So, it's an interesting territory, this, art in the public domain and what we do with it.
Yeah, but it's really interesting, isn't it? Because there's also that whole thing about how much do you respect it and how much do you not respect it? I mean, you're sort of saying, I respect Keith Haring's art, but I respect his views about his art even more. And he's saying, paint it over. And that's what he wanted to do in the 1980s. And then the Conservatives are saying, no, we've got to treat all art with the reverence. We're keeping it for our future generations.
I think conservation is evolving. Look, I remember really going to see the Hermitage collection when it came to Melbourne. And I was simply appalled that somebody had put, this dreadful new reds and blues and greens on things. And you would never do that these days. So we've evolved conservation issues, hugely. They are mostly very good, I think. This is just a little episode in which we have a slight, contretemps
about
the decision of the artist and the ideal from his point of view, and a more scientific point of view, which would say we can retard its fading, we can preserve it.
Yeah, because there are options.
But that is not a great option because the work will simply always then remain vapid and, a lesser thing than it was.
Another text message here. There was another Haring mural on Richmond Station in Brunton Avenue, now destroyed. From Brecon Walsh.
Because that's the thing as well.
Destroyed or
council
takes
over staff.
Probably.
I mean, in Britain, it's famous for painting over Banksy and other people's, you know...
Well, you've got to give new space to other people, haven't you?
Well, it's...
Is that what it's about?
I mean, now that Banksy's gone into the museum, you know, I mean, he took over the Bristol Museum in a massive, massive thing. But it was an interesting exercise in marketing. I mean, Banksy's no slouch in this.
No.
He has, you know, a very, very strong marketing instinct. And, you know, to some extent, Keith Haring had a little bit of a marketing instinct right back then. You know, he was one of a group of people like Barbara Kruger, like Jenny Holzer, who were, you know, taking their art onto the street, and they did see some capacity for that to, you know, have some commercial value as well, and that would buy into the whole system of critique about commodity, which was, of course, quite interesting.
But it's interesting about Banksy. One of my friends was telling me there's a British comic who hangs out with him, and the comic was on He's Quite Poor, and Banksy said, oh, I want to have one of my paintings, because he said there were stacks of them in his studio, and he sold it for a high amount just to... Banksy was very generous.
Well, of course, nobody knows who Banksy is, except millions of people do seem to hang out with him.
We are talking arts here on 775 ABC Melbourne, ABC Victoria, with Fiona Gruber. Fiona Gruber? I said your name wrong.
Fiona Gruber.
Fiona Gruner, Julian Engberg.
Fiona Gruber, the Kira Spoondent.
Here's an art school band, Radiohead. They formed an art school for sure.